Perek Yud Zayin. We're holding in the middle of the perek. Last week we discussed the story. We're still in the middle of the story of the burial and hespedim of Shaul HaMelech. So last week we discussed how the courageous people of Yavesh Gilad, which we said Yavesh Gilad is on the other side of the Jordan, the courageous people of Yavesh Gilad made a daring mission to go get the body of Shaul HaMelech to give him a proper burial. And we said that Hashem said that in the zchus that you went in your ma'aser nefesh to get the body of Shaul to give him a proper burial. So in the future, when Hashem is going to bring back all of Klal Yisrael, when Mashiach comes from all the four corners of the world, so Hashem says, I'm going to first bring the people of Gilad, of Yavesh Gilad, the people of Shevet Menashe who lived on the other side of the Jordan, and then Menashe, and then Yehuda, and then Ephraim, and Yehuda, etc. And it brings a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Li Gilad v'li Menashe Ephraim ma'iz reishi Yehuda mechaykiki." That's the pshat. That's the drush of the Medrash over here. So now we're going to say another drush on that pasuk, and then we're going to continue the story of Shaul HaMelech. In some versions of Pirkei Avos it says Davar Acher, in some versions it doesn't say Davar Acher. Li Gilad. What does it mean when it says Li Gilad? Just one more introduction. The second way of darshaning this pasuk that we're going to see over here in the Medrash has to do with three kings and four non-kings that are mentioned in the Mishnah Maseches Sanhedrin. One of the most famous Mishnayos. It says in the Mishnah Sanhedrin. It says, "Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelik Oyel Mahabo Shneimar VeAmech Kulam Tzadikim Neitzem Atoy Masi Yodei LeHispar." That every Jew has a Chelik in Elam Haba. And then the Mishnah continues and says, "VeElah SheEinam Chelik Oyel Mahabo." These are the people that don't have a Chelik in Elam Haba. Give Lachem VeArba Hadyotus. Three kings and four regular. Who are the three kings? Yerovam Ben Nevat, Achav, and Menashe. And the four regular people are Doeg HaDoimi, Achitofel, Gehazi, and Bilam. Doeg HaDoimi said Lashon Hara about Dovin HaMelech. Achitofel gave Avshalom the advice that he should rebel against Dovin HaMelech. Gehazi was Elisha's assistant, who sort of had a chutzpah that he asked Naaman to give a donation after Elisha was able to cure him from tzaras. And Bilam, we know from last week's parsha, that Bilam cursed Bnei Yisrael. And the three kings basically were kings of over the Jews that were Avdei Avodah Zara. Okay, so the Mishnah says that these seven people don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. And the Gemara brings, and other Midrashim bring, an opinion that says that no, they actually do have a chelik in Olam Haba. At least six out of these seven. We're going to say all six of them except for Bilam. Bilam, everyone agrees, doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. But the three kings and the three hedyotis, they we're going to say they do have a chelik in Olam Haba. And we're going to learn it from this pasuk over here. This pasuk we're discussing. Li Gilad, to me is Gilad. Hashem is saying, to me is Gilad. Who's Gilad? Ze Achav, Shemes Beromes Gilad. Let's talk about Achav, who died in battle in Ramis Gilad. There was a war between Yisrael and Aram, and we spoke about in the last parak that Naaman accidentally shot out his bow and arrow, and that ended up killing Achav, and that was how Achav got killed. Basically, he got injured, and then he died afterwards. V'li Menashe, and to me is Menashe, k'mashmoy, like mashmoyis of the word Menashe, which is a name of one of the kings of Yehuda, the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Ephraim ma'oiz reishi. Ephraim is the strength of is the first of my strength. Ze Yerovam ben Nevat. Let's talk about Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat was the first king of Malchi Yisrael. So he's ma'oiz reishi. He's the head of the powers, the powerful ones. Ma'oiz reishi. He was the first king of Malchi Yisrael. And he was from Shevet Ephraim. We'll speak more, Be'ezus Hashem, about Yerovam ben Nevat in a few moments. Yehuda mechaykiki, Yehuda, the one who is mechaykik, the one who makes the laws. Zeh Achitofel, let's talk about Achitofel, who was originally an advisor to David HaMelech, and then he sort of turned on him and gave bad etzas to given etzah to Avshalom that he should rebel. Moyav sir rachzi, the pasuk says, Moyav, the pot of my cleaning, of my bath. Zeh Gehazi, that's talking about Gehazi. Because what happened was that Elisha told Naaman, who was the general of Aram, Elisha told Naaman that he should go to the Yarden as a mikvah, and that's how he could get cured of his tzaras. So the Indian of, and then afterwards, Gehazi, who was Elisha's assistant, asked Naaman to give him a donation. He wanted to make some money off of the miracle. So Gehazi, his avera had to do with rechitza. So we're dashing this pasuk of Moyer Tzirachzi that has to do with rechitza on Gehazi. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, upon Edom I will send my shoe, Zedoyeg HaEdomi. That's talking about Doyeg HaEdomi, who Pashup Shat means that he's from Edom. So all these people, the pasuk says, Alai Peleshes his royai, upon me Peleshes is complaining, is like moving around and complaining. In the way they dash in the pasuk is Peleshes is a reference to David HaMelech. That David HaMelech destroyed or killed a lot of the Plishtim, so he's called Peleshes. It's interesting that he's called after the people that he killed. But David HaMelech had tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could you let these people into Olam Haba? You know, they did bad things against Kal Yisrael and against you. How could you do that? So on all of this, David HaMelech is his royai, he's having tainas, like tarumais. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Olai lefalesh aleihem zuchus, upon me it is incumbent to find zechus of merits for them, and then I'm going to make all of them friends together. Make David HaMelech and Yerovam ben Nevat and Menashe. All these people are going to be like friends, meaning they're all going to go to Olam Haba together. Even though the Mishnah says all these people don't have a chelik Olam Haba, so this Medrash and it's an opinion that's also brought in the Gemara holds that they do have a chelik Olam Haba, even despite the horrible affairs that they did. Fine. Now we're going to continue the story of Shaul Malach. Rabbi Pinchas Oimer. Rabbi Pinchas says, Le'achar shana shenayarag Shaul uvonu. A year after Shaul and his sons were killed. Now, the Mepharshim say that in other places, in the Yakut and Rashi and Yavamis, say that this didn't happen a year after Shaul was killed, but it happened 30 years after he was killed. Because if you look in the Psukim, the story that we're going to talk about now is actually written after the story of Avshalom's rebellion. And Avshalom's rebellion happened towards the end of David HaMelech's life, so it makes more sense that this happened towards the end of David HaMelech's life, not towards the beginning of his reign, right after Shaul died. So it's not supposed to say that after a year, but after 30 years. That's what the Radal says this, the Marzu says this, Seder Duris also brings this down, that it's supposed to, it should really say 30 years after. What happened 30 years after Shaul died? Ba'ar Ra'av Shalish Shanim B'mei David. There was a famine for 3 years in the times of David Melech. Shana achar shana, year after year. The Bais HaGadol says that we're going to darshan year after year, that each year there was a different nekuda that they were thinking about. Shneimar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi ra'av bimei David shalish shanim. There was a famine in the times of David for 3 years. So what are they going to do about this famine? B'shana rishana, in the first year, Olal Yisrael regel, Ben Yisrael came up to the regel, they came to the Beis HaMikdash, and David HaMelech, you know, gave his annual speech or whatever. David HaMelech said to them, "Tzu uru'u shema yesh b'chem b'nei adam ovdei avodah zarah." Go out and check. Maybe there's people from amongst you who are worshippers of idolatry. Sheba'ava avodah zarah g'shamim netzarim. Because of the vera of avodah zarah, that's what causes rain to stop. So, you know, we have this famine, we want to deal with it. Let's make sure that there's no avodah zarah, and then that'll clear it up. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, in the end of the pasuk it says the heavens are going to close up and there's not going to be rain. So David HaMelech said, check it out. Yotzu, what's the Indian of avodah zarah and rain? So the Bais HaGadol explains that all the things that we're going to talk about are mila keneged mila. The Gemara says in Tainus that one of the three keys, the mafteches, which are given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the mafteach of rain. The HaKadosh Baruch has complete control over rain. So when a person is Ovid Avodah Zarah, they're denying the complete control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem is not going to use the thing that He has complete control over, the rain, and He's not going to give it to them. Okay. Yotzu, they went to check. Yotzu, they went out. Ubadko, they checked. Lematzu, they didn't find any people who were Nikshal in Ovid Avodah Zarah. In the second year, all of Yisrael regel, they went up to the regel, for Yontif, Omer Lahem David, David Melech said to them, Tzuru, Shem Yesh Bechem Megal HaRayis. We have, okay, there is no Avodah Zarah, but we still have a famine, so we have to check out a different thing. Go and check, maybe there is, from amongst you, people who are Megal HaRayis, people who are misbehaving in terms of immorality. Shabba Avo in Gilei HaRayis, HaGashamim Netzarim. Because of the Avera of Gilei HaRayis, the rains stop. Shnemar, it says in the Pasuk, V'tachnifi Eretz Biznusayich Uvrosayich. That the land becomes flattered Biznusayich, with the Znus. Bais HaGadol explains that the Midah Keneged Midah is sort of that, why is a person going to do Averas of Avrayis, whatever? The Pshat is because when a person is satisfied and he's bored and he has nothing else to do, so then he starts being Isaac in these type of things. But if a person is busy, you know, so then he's not going to be Isaac in it. So when Hashem gives rain and Parnassah is good and easy or whatever, so then people have more time on their hands and they start doing other things because they're satisfied and whatever. But if they don't have time on their hands and they're trying to work and they don't have food and they're busy trying to get together whatever they can, so then they don't have time to do this type of affairs.
But on the contrary, if you have more time, you're going to be learning more Torah.
Oh, that's true. But they weren't taking advantage of that, right? Another pshat, I was thinking of a slightly different pshat, that the Indian of Ara, this is maybe more Remez or Kabbalah, the Indian of Arayas, is that a person is giving hashpa to the wrong place. A person is supposed to be mashpia in such a fashion, and instead he's doing it to a person that he's not supposed to give hashpa to. So too, a Kaddish Baruch Hu said, oh, you give hashpa to the wrong place, so I'm not going to give you my hashpa. So the rain, what we spoke about in like Perek Hay, I think it was, the rain is a hashpa from a Kaddish Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, so he's saying, I'm not going to give you that special hashpa. Is his door broken? Oh, it's good. That's the Indian. That's why. Because of the Avera of Arayis, that's why the rain would stop. Yotzu, Ubadku, Vloimatsu. They went out. They checked, and they didn't find people who were. Oh, Maksiv Sham. Sorry, Maksiv Sham was the same. That possibly Mani Revavim Umalkus Lehaya. Fine. And the Revavim, the sprouts stopped, and Malkus Lehaya. There was no rain when it's talking about when the land was flooded. Biznusay. Fine. Brad Kuvle Matsu, they went out and they checked that nobody was over Gilei HaRayis. Bishana Shlishis, in the third year, Oli Yisrael Regel, Bnei Yisrael came up to the Regel, for Yontav again. Omer Lehem David, David Melech said, Tzu'uru, Shem Yesh Bechem Shevchei Damim. Maybe there's people who are murderers within you. And Sheba Avoyin, Shechaz Damim HaGishom Netzarim. And because of the Avera of murder, that's why the rains stop. Shneemar, because it says the Pasuk, Fulei Sachanifu Wasu Aretz. That's a pasuk. The in next week's parasha, I think it is, right? It says that you're not allowed to take koifer for a ritzach, meaning if a guy kills, instead of going to galus, so maybe he'll say, oh, if he gives some money, he doesn't have to go to galus. No, we don't take koifer. You're going to flatter the land. You're going to make it that like if people have a little bit more money, then they can do whatever they want. We don't want such a matzav. But the point is that. The point is that when you do, when people are murdering, it's called flattering the land. And we said by flattering the land that there's no rain and there's not going to be any sprouts. So they went and checked if there were any murderers. Ah, I meant to bring had cookies that I wanted to bring. I forgot to bring them. Shkoyach.
Thank you for giving me them as well.
Maybe next week I'll bring them, if I remember. So they went to check if there's any murderers and they didn't find that there were murderers. Other midrashim say in Yevamos it says another thing that they went to check if there were piskei tzedakah b'rabim v'ein na'isim, people who pledged to give tzedakah in public and then they didn't give it. They said they got up in shul or whatever. They said, you know, I'm going to give $1,000 to the shul, and they never gave it. Or people that didn't give chumas and maizros. We mentioned in the end of Perek Yud Dalet, we mentioned that there's a Mishnah in Ovis that says, let's see if I wrote down the lashon of the Mishnah. In Avos, the end of Mitzachas Avos, the Mishnah says, "Rav Bala Olam al Bitul Chumas Umaisrus." Famine comes to the world because of Bitul Chumas Umaisrus. So the manager says that maybe there was Dovin Mel said maybe people aren't taking off Chumas Umaisrus properly, and they found that wasn't the issue.
Which year did Dovin say that? The first, second, or third Chumas Umaisrus?
I'm not sure. I don't remember if all the sources say it like this, that it was like different years and they went through different things.
So. 1 year different golden Pesach Shavuot Sukkot.
It could be, it was all in 1 year, each one was in a year, and all of them are true. The Radal says that these type of things, you don't need to go out and check to see if people are over it. If people don't give money that they give, everyone's going to know, because we're expecting the money and we didn't see the money. Or Trumas and Maestros, if people don't give Trumas and Maestros, the Kain and Levi are like, where's my food?
This is at the beginning of the Malchus of Dovid or the end of the Malchus of Dovid? According to the Pesukim, put it at the end of Sefer Shmuel, but
right.
I think some people say it was at the beginning of the Malchus.
The Pashup Shat in Pirkei Avos is that it was a year after Shaul was killed. When Yevamos, Rashi says it was 30 years into David Malch's reign, which is towards the end of his Malch. So the Seder Deres brings that there's two opinions and when exactly the story happened.
Chilukei
Deos, yeah. Okay, so what is the problem, Mai? So what are they supposed to do? Oh, the Pshat in Mida Keneged Mida of murderers to not having rain is because, you know, you killed somebody else, so Hashem's gonna say, okay, well, I'm not gonna make sure that you live either. So there's no rain, there's no food. But so what did happen? What was the affair? Why did they have a famine? Amar lam David. So David and Al said, Mikan ve'elach ena David toli elabi. From here on, the matter is only dependent on me. Or the Kafta v'Ferech brings in Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Zayin, sorry, the Kaftav Aferach brings this Perek Devilas as a slightly different gear. So it says, "Mikan ve'elach en adover toli ki'im betfila." From here on in, the matter is only dependent on davening. Miad Amad David lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu v'hispala. David Melech stood in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu and he davened. He prayed to Hashem, and he wanted to know, "What can I do to fix? What can I fix to make it that this famine will stop?" V'omer loy al Shaul, Kodesh Baruch Hu said back to him, because of Shaul. That was the answer. The answer was because of Shaul. Now, the next like three lines over here in Pirkei d'Eliezer are like, the mamish don't make any sense. Not mamish, but like, if you read it, it's like very difficult. So we're going to read it and sort of translate it literally and then point out that it doesn't really make sense, and then I'll tell you what other sources which bring down the same medrash the way they have it, and we can read it a lot easier and understand exactly what's happening. Amar David Ribbono Shel Olam. David said, "Master of the universe, Eini Shaul. I'm not Shaul. Shebiyamai lo nesas alveda zara b'Yisrael. Because in my years, in my lifetime, under my reign, there was no alveda zara in Bnei Yisrael. If Eini Shaul shemshach b'shem ben Mishkan, and I'm not Shaul who was anointed with the oil of anointment." Any Shaul Shochalak im Shmuel Navi, and I'm not Shaul who it seems argued on Shmuel Navi. So what happened of it? It's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what these things are talking about. And as the Mefarshim speak out, it's a mistake over here. And really, it's supposed to read it like this: take out the words Amar David Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a continuation of what Hashem is talking to David about.
Right.
So this is what it's supposed to say, really. The Radal picks this up. No. So we don't see either way, but in the time of David Melech, whether there was a Vedazor or not. But what we do see for sure is that in the time of Shaul there wasn't. Yeah, but he had to go out and search for them because they were all gone. It sounds like this. This is what the way the Radal says it from Bamidbar Rabbah and then the Yalkut Shemani. Says Hashem said Al Shaul because of Shaul, and that Hashem is asking David Melech, Einay Shaul Shenimshach b'Shem and Amishra, is he not Shaul Melech who was anointed with the Shem and Amishra? Meaning that Shaul Melech, I Hashem personally decided that he should be king. Ve'einay Shaul Shabiyam b'Vleinesos Avodah Zarah b'Yisrael, and is he not Shaul Melech that in his days there was no Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael? The Pesukim said that Shaul HaMelech took out, destroyed all of Avodah Zarahs that existed in Bnei Yisrael. And later on, when Shaul HaMelech himself wanted to go to Avin Yedeni, he had a little bit of difficulty trying to find the lady who could do that. Right. Ve'ene Shaul Shechelkoi im Shmuel HaNavi. Is he not Shaul HaMelech whose chelek is with Shmuel HaNavi? Meaning, we're going to say later on in Perek Devilas and Perek Lamed Gimel, that Shaul HaMelech is in the same chelek in Olam Haba as Shmuel HaNavi. They're on the same targa. Kilo. Shmuel HaNavi and Shaul HaMelech are like on the same targa. So Shaul is on the same target, Shmuel Levi. And so what's the problem? The problem is, V'ata ba'aretz v'hu b'chutz la'aretz. You're in Eretz Yisrael, and Shaul Malach is in Chutz La'aretz. Because what do we say? We said that the people of Yavish Gilad, who lived across the Jordan, they were the ones who took back the body of Shaul Malach, and they buried it over there, on the other side of the Jordan. Apparently, on the other side of the Jordan is considered Chutz La'aretz in regard to burial. And so Hashem is telling David Malach, Azah chutzpah. Shaul Malach is such a chashuv person that he was personally chosen by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He got eradicated the Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. He is like Shmuel Navi and Olam Haba. He's such a chashuv person, and he's buried in Chutz La'aretz, and you're sitting here in your palace in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't feel anything for that. That's why there's a famine. That's what Hashem is saying. Ata ba'aretz v'hu b'chutz la'aretz. In the Gemara on Yevamos, the Gemara says three things. The Gemara says, first of all, the fact that Shaul HaMelech killed out the city of Nov, and the people, there's a people called the Givonim, who were sort of, they supported the city of, they were the suppliers for the city of Nov. And because, what?
They were supplying wood.
They were supplying wood and water, whatever. Yeah. And because the city of Nov was basically killed out, so these guys didn't have any parnasa. Because they're chopping wood, but who are they chopping wood for? But they draw water, but who are they drawing water for? The whole city was killed, the city of Kahana was killed out by Shaul. So these people had tainas on David HaMelech. So one of the reasons, so Gemara says, on Shaul HaMelech, but also on David HaMelech. Because it was sort of David's fault why Shaul killed out the whole city. It's complicated exactly why it's David HaMelech's problem. But they had a hakpada on David HaMelech. I'll tell you exactly what their hakpada was in a moment, but they had a hakpada on David HaMelech, and so one of the reasons why Hashem brought the famine was because the Givonim had a hakpada on David HaMelech. So the Gemara says a whole story that Hashem told David HaMelech that was one of the problems. So he went to the Givonim and speak to the Givonim, like, what can we do? So the Givonim said, look, this is what we want from you. Shaul HaMelech killed the city of Nov. We want you to give us 7 of Shaul HaMelech's descendants, and we're going to kill them, and then we'll be happy. That's what they said. And David HaMelech said, Azah chutzpah, that's what you want, to be happy? You want to kill as revenge these 7 descendants of Shaul HaMelech? And the Gemara says, this is the real discussion of the Gemara. And the Gemara says that there's 3 simanim of a Jew: Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gemli Chasadim. And we see that these Givonim are not Rahman and Baishanim and Gerbli Chasadim from this story. And that's why David HaMelech made a gzer that you're not allowed to marry Givonim. So if you ever seen Shas, Mamzer v'Nosen, Nosen is a name for these Givonim. It was a gzer that David HaMelech said that you're not allowed to marry these people. And they kicked them out of Klal Yisrael, and that was the way of fixing up the situation. But that was, so they had a time on, so that was a time on David HaMelech. Their time on David HaMelech was that he didn't do revenge to the descendants of Shaul. And we said that's a chutzpah de katayna, but Hashem still made a famine because they had some sort of hakpada. But once we fixed the problem, then that issue was fixed. The other thing that the Gemara says was that they didn't do a hesped on Shaul HaMelech Karoy. They didn't give a proper eulogy when Shaul HaMelech died. So here, because Shaul HaMelech is buried in Chutz La'aretz and David is staying in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara says another thing, that Shaul HaMelech didn't have proper eulogy when he died, so Hashem had a hakpada on that, because Shaul HaMelech was such a chashuv person, and they didn't properly eulogize him. So Maisa, it's interesting that if you look in the Pesukim, you don't really see that. If you look in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, where is this? This page. The last 11 psukim of Shmuel Aleph are. No, where is it? Yeah. The last 11 psukim of the first parak of Shmuel Beis. I'm sorry, Shmuel Beis, the first parak. The last 11 psukim of the parak are all about how they said all kinds of eulogies and lamentations over the death of Shaul HaMelech. So you see the pesukim that by Yikainin David is Sakina Hazoyis al Shaul while Yerinus and Benoi, and they said by Yomer Lulamin Bnei Yerukoshes. That was the refrain of the thing. It says, "Sham naflu niga magen giborim magen shol." All these different things, and in the end of a few psukim later, it says that Bnei Yisrael were crying and they were saying, "Eich naflu giborim b'seich hamelchama yohainasan abba misayeh cholol." They talk and did give a good eulogy. Eich naflu giborim v'yayv to claim alchama. What's the Gemara saying that they didn't give a good eulogy? So the Eitz Yosef on Ein Yaakov and Yevamos, was it Ein Ches, says that yeah, they gave a eulogy, but it wasn't good enough. They should have done more. That's one shot. The Maariz Chayis in Maseches Yevamos says a different nekuda. So it's a very interesting point that he makes. If you look in all of Tanakh, it never says what they spoke about by a person's eulogy, except by Shaul HaMelech. By everyone else, it never says what they spoke about. There's a medrash that says that in the beginning of Chayei Sara, there's a medrash that says that the eulogy Vayava Avraham l'sped l'sara l'fkoi sa, that Avraham gave a hesped on Sara. So the medrash says, what was the hesped that Avraham Avinu gave on Sara? It was Eishes Chayel. That parak in Mishlei, the parak Laman Aleph, I think it is, that talks about a woman of valor. So that's the hesped that Avraham Avinu gave on Sara. But nowhere else in Tanakh does it actually say. What?
The
hesped was actually Eishes Chayel. I remember. I think it's a medrash that says that. But nowhere do you actually see explicitly, though, this is what the hesped was. This was the way they mourned so-and-so's death. The only place you ever see it is by Shaul. So the Maariz Chayis says, the question is even stronger. It's like, not just that they did do hespedim, and you're saying they didn't. They did, and nowhere else in Tanakh do we find hespedim by anyone else. So what's going on over here? So the Maariz Chayis says like this. The minig in Klal Yisrael apparently was like this, that they had some people called Mekonenos and Meyalalos. Gemara in the Maseches Tanis talks about it. They had people whose jobs it was to go to levayas and to go to cemeteries and to cry and to say sad things and songs. But the way it worked was there was a certain template. There was a certain default lashon, default text that they would say, certain things that they would say for everyone. It was the same text for everyone. Why? What's pshat? Because when a person dies, so everyone is sad, and their mind is not settled. They're sad. They're not in a normal situation. They don't know what to do. They don't have time to sit down and write a beautiful poem. They don't have time to start thinking about exactly how should I say this and how should I say that. That's not what they're thinking about. They're thinking about, this person was nifter, this person. They can't properly focus. So the minhag was they used a certain text that they said for everyone. The same thing. So Maariz Chayis says, wait a second. By Shaul HaMelech, we see in the psukim what was the hesped, and it was a special hesped. It wasn't just a regular text that everyone said. That they said for everyone. It was a special hesped. So that was the problem. The problem was that when Shaul HaMelech died, everyone was so, they were so cool about it. They weren't like out of their mind. They weren't out of their element that they were able to sit down and write what they're going to say. And they were able to say nice things about Shaul HaMelech, but because they had that yeshiva das. That's the problem. The problem is they weren't so bothered by it that they couldn't sit down and focus. They could focus. That was the problem. The problem was that they gave their hesped was too good. That's the problem.
How come to Hashem it's a big deal? He was such a chashuv person, he said.
He was such a chashuv person, and you weren't bothered by his death?
To everybody else, he didn't seem so chashuv.
That's the problem. That's the problem. They didn't think about it. Yeah. Once we're talking about this,
they have no hero also. Like, I think when a king dies, people think what's going to be next.
You're right.
Situation. Who's going to be the next president?
You're right. You're saying good.
You get hectic about it.
I saw
more so when the king of Israel dies.
I saw in the news. It was like a few weeks ago. In the news, they had what happened was that they were doing a practice, a rehearsal practice for what they would do for the funeral of the Queen Elizabeth in England. In case she dies, this is how they're going to do it. And you know, what the soldiers are going to do, exactly like this, exactly like this. So they're practicing, right? So apparently somebody misunderstood what was happening and thought that she actually did die, and sent like a Twitter message that the Queen died, and then there was like a whole big thing in the news that like, oh, the Queen died, and then like it took them like an hour or two to figure out like, no, she didn't really die, it was a mistake that someone saw them practicing and thought that they... You're right, so that's what happens in contemporary times. But back then, they weren't preparing for the guy to die. They weren't sitting down and writing poem, in case he dies, this is what we're going to say by his Leviah. But some people, like, you know, like recently different Gedolim have died, and then within 2-3 months they come with a whole fat book, you know, a biography on him. It's like, you wrote that in 2 months? Come on, tell me the truth. Did you really write it when he was alive and you were waiting for him to die? That even worse. Like, I don't know, but there's a similar story. The idea of this Maariv Tzchias is there's a similar story to it. They say a story about a legend about the Taz and the Bach. We know that the Taz, one of the major Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, he was a son-in-law of the Bach, one of the major Mefarshim on the tour. He married the Bach's daughter. And when the Bach's daughter died, so the Taz, you know, he gave a nice eloquent speech by the Levaya and the funeral, whatever. And then after, you know, he was an Avelis, after this period of Avelis, so he went to the Bach, to his father-in-law, and he said, you know, I want to marry your next daughter. So the Bach said, no! Why? How can you give such a beautiful speech by the Levaya? Like, how were you able to have that tranquility to speak so eloquently at your wife's Levaya, Ashes Neurim, and you're giving such a beautiful speech? I'm not going to give you my next daughter. I seem to remember that, like, in the end, he did marry one of the Bach's other daughter or granddaughter, something like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's the same idea over there. How could you have that Yishuv Adas that... But... So that's... I'm not saying that. No, I'm saying that could be that the Bach maybe looked at it like that, or that it was a chisarn in the covet to her, something like that. Okay. So that's the other pshat in the Gemara, that one of the other factors that the Gemara says that the famine came because they didn't give a proper hespedim on Shaul. But our Medrash just talks about the fact that Shaul is buried in Chutz Laaretz and David and Malach is in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Miad Amad David v'lokach as kol chachmi Yisrael g'dayleihem. Immediately David and Malach got up and he took all the wise men of Klal Yisrael and all the chashuva people v'avru sayardin and they crossed the Jordan uvol yavish Gilad. They went to Yavish Gilad umotzu es atzmei Shaul v'yohinesan b'noi shalai shalta behem rima. And they went and they dug up the bones of Shaul and Yohinasan, and they saw the Lei Shalta Behem Rima. There were no worms in their bones. And the Radal says that there's like two things going on here. Usually when you talk about worms, so worms are in the flesh, and bones, we say that the bones decay. So he says that it means to say that the bones didn't decay. Not that there were no worms, because there would only be worms in the flesh. Or that the flesh was also intact, I guess. Right. Well, that's because he was embalmed. He was preserved.
Yeah, but why?
Why was he preserved?
Yeah.
Okay, we spoke about that, but yeah. But here he wasn't preserved, and if this is like 30 years later, you know, this is like a huge chiddush. Yeah, even a year later. V'alav Namar about, I guess it really should probably say V'alehim Namar. About Shaul and Yohanan, it says Shemu Klat Vesov Achas Mehena L'Nishboya. That Hashem guards their bones, Achas Mehena L'Nishboya. Not even one of them was broken or decayed or anything. V'Lokachas Atzmoisam, and David took their bones and Usanam Ba'oroin, and he put them in a coffin. V'Avru Sayardin, and they crossed back to the Jordan. Shemar says in the pasuk, V'Yikbru Es Atzmois Shaul V'Yohanan Benoi V'Yasu Kol Asher Tziva Hanala. And they buried the bones of Shaul and his son Yohanan, and they did everything that the king commanded. Maybe it's starting like, okay, yeah, Matziv HaMelech, what did the king command? What was this special thing that they did? Liyayit ma'virin es aroni shel Shaul b'chol gvul Yisrael b'chol shevet v'shevet. They would go and they should transport or pass around the coffin of Shaul throughout the all the borders of Klal Yisrael, from every to every shevet and shevet, v'haya hagvul shenichnas by a reina shel Shaul, and whenever whatever place, whatever when they would reach that territory, whatever territory the coffin of Shaul would enter, haya yaitzin heim uvnehem uvneisehen v'gremlem chaset. They would come out, all the people from that territory would come out, them and their daughters and their sons, and they would come and do chesed to Shaul. They would go and push it, they would show their respect to him. They would go out to Kilu to greet him, to give covet to him. So that they could fulfill their obligation of giving gemilas chasadim to Shaul HaMelech. And remember, that's why we're talking about this. Because we're talking about gemilas chasadim for people who are in Avelis, and gemilas chasadim for people who were nifter. Ad sheba legvul nachlosai le'eretz Binyamin, that's what the Radal says the Gersa should be, till they came to the border of his inheritance in Eretz Binyamin. Shenamar, the Radal takes out the word Shenamar, and vayik b'roisa b'gvul nachlosai, and they buried him in the border of his, in the territory of his inheritance. The word Shenamar is a mistake, the Radal says, because there is a pasuk that says vayik b'roisa b'gvul nachlosai, but it's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, I believe, talking about the death, talking about the burial of Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Those words is a pasuk that does mean that context, but it's talking about a different person. But here we're just sort of bringing that pasuk and using it in a different way. So it's not really Shenamar. Fine, that's what the Radal says.
Where is the kever of Shaul?
Where is the kever of Shaul?
Yeah.
In a place, I believe, called Givas Shaul. Not we call Givas Shaul in Yerushalayim now?
No, I think it's between Amot and what's it called? The Rechus.
That's Shmuel, the Shmuel Navi.
No, it's a place that's hidden. We don't know what's it called? The top of the place.
Tomb.
I don't know. We don't know what the tomb is. Do you?
Well,
I don't think it is. Shaul's tomb.
I don't know if we know where it is.
That's
but the pasuk says that he's buried in a place called Give Us Shaul.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the hill of Shaul.
But where is that?
I don't think we know where it is. Do you know? Do we know?
It's Binyamin.
Yeah, it's Binyamin.
Eretz Binyamin was a very small territory.
Yeah.
I think they had the smallest nafu. So you're not talking about a very big area.
Okay, so we'll go out and look for it. We'll take a tour.
I heard someone saying that's not place.
Bring suntan lotion.
That now belongs to the Arabs. Whatever it's over there, what's
Beit
Shuafat. Whatever, there's a road to what's it called? Nevi Yaakov?
Yeah.
So the left side is all Arabs and stuff.
Ramallah?
No, before.
Before Ramallah.
This is the Beit Hanina.
Yeah.
And
where the light rail goes. Not the light.
Yeah, exactly. Over there.
You've been there yet?
I've never been there. People said that in the Shver told me that back in what's it called? One of that place exactly to build a palace or whatever for the king, and they didn't, there was protest and stuff because they knew that maybe that's the place where Shaul HaMelech is buried, and there's all confusion about it.
So why did they go there and find out and make it a decent place?
Interesting. So the halacha is that usually you don't give hespedim for somebody after 12 months after the guy's nifter, but in this case the mafreshim speak out that since his body was still intact, so the halacha is that you could still give hespedim. Came and so this is what they did. They took him around and everyone paid their last respects to him, and then they buried him in Eretz Yisrael proper. Kevin Shira Kadosh Baruch Hu Shugamu Lei Chesed Kol Yisrael. Once the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that they gave, that all Bnei Yisrael gave Chesed, did Chesed for Shaul HaMelech, Miyad Nismali Rachamim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was filled with Rachamim, Rinosan Motar Al Oretz, and he gave rain to the land. Shneimar says in the pasuk, Vayei Oser Likim Lo Oretz Achreichen, and Kadosh Baruch Hu heated to the land afterwards, and then there was rain again.
I wonder what's gonna happen. Going to have to happen in California,
then
I should give rain over there.
What, there's a famine there?
Yeah, it's beating for
good time. Spend them over
they're
there.
They're going to have rain over there.
I didn't hear about it. Okay, so now we're going to move on to another story. We're going to speak about Yeshio HaMelech. King Josiah, Yoshio HaMelech, the tragic story of Yoshio HaMelech. Like this. We'll give an introduction. After Shlomo HaMelech died, so his son Rehavam took over as the king. And Rehavam, you know, he wanted to know, you know, how do I treat the people? He never read Machiavellian's The Prince. So he didn't know how to deal with people. He didn't know how to be a king. So he spoke to his advisors. And his older advisors, the older men, told him, you know, be nice to them and try to do good for them, whatever. And his younger advisors said, oh, you gotta be tough and you gotta show them who's boss. So because he's a young guy, you know, a young schnook, kilo, so he took the advice of the younger advisors, not the older advisors, and he was tough with them. And people weren't so interested in, you know, Shlomo Melech himself was a nice king, but he was also pretty tough. And he said, you know, my pinky is fatter than the stomach of my father, meaning he's saying that I'm going to be even tougher than him. Right? So he was even tougher. So a lot of people were not interested in him being their king. And it happened to be that one of Shlomo Melech's servants, whose name was Yeravam, who sort of tried to start a rebellion before and ran away to Mitzrayim, he decided he's coming back, and a lot of people ended up following him. So this guy became a king of Yisrael, Yeravam ben Avot, he became the king of what's called Yisrael, and Rehavam became a king of what's called Yehuda, and it split. Achia HaShilaini, who was the Rebbe of Eliyahu HaNavi, he was the one who appointed Yeravam ben Avot as the king of Yisrael. So it was. Hashem did agree to it in some ways. It wasn't like stam a rebellion against. That's basically what happened. Yeravam decided, you know, he had competition, because what happened was that, you know, the halacha is that you go to every 3 times a year. You have to go to Eretz Yisrael. You have to go to Yerushalayim to Eilel HaRegel. So that people are going to go to Yerushalayim, and then they're going to be so enthralled by what's happening over there, and they're going to want to come have more shaykhs to what's happening in Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and they're not going to want me as king anymore. So what did he do? He outlawed going to Yerushalayim and said, instead of going to Yerushalayim, here, we're going to have one Avodah Zarah over here in Don, and one Avodah Zarah over there, and where's the other one? Beis El. And instead of going to Yerushalayim, you could do whatever your Avodahs you have to do, whatever religious practices, you could do it over here. You don't have to go there, in order to make sure that people don't go there. Yep. So basically what it says in the Navi is that after this happened, one time he was over there serving his Avodah Zarah, and Idoy HaNavi, I believe it was Idoy HaNavi, comes and tells him off for all these things. And Idoy HaNavi gives him a nevuah that there's going to be a descendant of David Melech named Yoshiyahu who's going to come, and he's going to fix up all these problems over here. He's going to get rid of all these Avodah Zarahs. And then later on, there's Taka going to be a person named Yoshiyahu. By the time Yoshiyahu was born, Malchus Yisrael is already completely gone. Sancheriv already sent them out. They don't exist anymore. But this is the story of Yoshiyahu. This is the introduction to Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Rabbi Nisanal Omer. Rabbi Nisanal says, Shloish Shana Ashelenoilad Yoshiyahu Nikrishmoy. 300 years before Yoshiyahu was born, his name was given. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, this is the Nevuah of Idoy HaNavi, Hine bein noilad leveis David Yoshiyahu shmoi. Behold, a son will be born to the house of David. His name will be Yoshiyahu, Josiah. And the Medrash Pirkei Avos brings this again in Perek Lamed Beis. There's going to be a list of different people in Tanakh whose names were given before they were born. Yoshiyahu was one of the people. His name was given 300 years before he was born. The Radal and the Marzu make a cheshvan of exactly how you get to that number of 300, and they say that it's really a little bit more than 300. It's lav dafka. We'll call it about 300 years.
Who gave the name? The
Nevuah? The Nevuah said that there's going to be such a person, and when he was born, whatever, his father named him Yoshiyahu. That was the kiyum of that Nevuah. That was a realization of that Nevuah.
The Nevuah gives the name.
Hashem said that, you know, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to, and you're going to call him Yitzchak. And he had a son, and he named him Yitzchak. So who gave him the name? Avraham Avinu gave him the name Yitzchak. But Hashem told him beforehand what the name is going to be. So here it's the same idea. So that's the king Yoshiyahu. Uben Shmaya Shana Moach. He was 8 years old when he became king. V'chinar ben shmoner shana, mahi daitoi. a kid who's 8 years old, Mahi Daitai, what's his das? What's in his brain? How does he know how to lead? How can he be a leader? So the way the Marzu reads it, you have to say it like this. Rather, even though he was 8 years old and he was a kid, still he recognized the truth when it confronted him. And Moas Eswelilim, he despised idolatry, Vishiva Samatsevis, and he broke the altars of Avodah Zarah, Bukhara Sasar Sherim, and he cut down the Asherah trees, Vigida Sapsilim, and he dismembered the figurines of Avodah Zarah. And his chus was shining forth in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and in front of the Kei Kavod. That was Yeshiyahu. Yeshiyahu, the iconoclast. He went and destroyed the Avodah Zarah. That was what Yeshiyahu did, and that's the kiyum of the Nevuah of Ido Yonavi, where he told Yeravam ben Nevat that someone from Dalai Lama Sam is going to come and destroy the Avodah Zarah. This was Yeshiyahu of HaMelech. He destroyed the Avodah Zarah. Even though he was a little kid, when he became king and he started this campaign, this anti-Avodah Zarah campaign, he was Matzliach. There's a lot of different things that the Chazal and the Pesukim talk about Yeshiyahu. We're not going to talk about all of them, but there's a famous thing that he found out Sefer Torah in the Beis HaMikdash when he was 18, and the Gemara says that after he found the Sefer Torah, he went through it and he started reading it, and he realized, some of as a king, he used to be a judge as well. And he decided, some of the judgments that I rendered, might have been mistaken because I wasn't such an expert in Torah. So he went back to all the cases that he decided from when he was 8 till he was 18, 10 years worth of cases, and he gave all the litigants money. And he said, I'll make you, because I made you pay him, so here, I'll give you the money in case maybe I was wrong and really you shouldn't have had to pay him. So he paid him, that's a good morning, I think in Shabbos. There's different things about Yeshua Melech. They were saying the Ikar Nekudas that he went and he destroyed Avodah Zarah.
But we get a tax return.
Yeah.
From the government.
That's like a tax return, right? So the way the Marzud read this message that we said was that even though he was 8 years old, Lamaisa, he was able to recognize the truth when he saw it, and that's why he just went and had a whole campaign against Avodah Zarah. This is a very interesting Shtigl Torah from Viliomi Izmir over here in Viloy Oyed Ella. He asks this question. He says, you read the Medrash asks a question and doesn't answer it. Because you read it. What is the das of a kid who's 8 years old? And then it says, rather he hated Avodah Zarah and he went and he destroyed it. But he was 8 years old. How did you answer the question? So he says like this. Very, very interesting idea. Yomi Izmir says like this. It's that he brings from the Arizal in Sefer Gilgulim that the Arizal writes that Yeshiyahu HaMelech, Melech Yehuda, was a Gilgul of Achav Melech Yisrael. That's what Arizal writes. Now Achav Melech Yisrael, we mentioned before, was one of the worst, the worst felons, the worst offenders of Avodah Zarah in the history of Klal Yisrael. So it does say that he did tshuva, but at the end of the day, he was also Chayter Machti as a rabbim, so tshuva alone doesn't necessarily get rid of it. But that was Achav. And Yeshiyahu was a Gilgul of Achav. That's what the Rizal says. So Rabbi Yom Izmir says, very interesting you say. He says, when a person is a Gilgul from a previous life, so when they come down again, when their neshama comes back to this world, so the reason why they're back here is because they have to fix, be misakin, the averas that they did in the previous Gilgul. He says that the neshama itself knows what it has to fix. So even if you're a kid, you're 8 years old, and you don't even know how to think, your mind is not developed, you're not a mature person yet, but your neshama knows what its role in this world is and what its goals are supposed to be. So he says that's the pshat over here. Yeshiyahu, he was 8 years old, and his neshama knew that he was a gigol of Achav, and Achav was over Avodah Zarah. He knows that his role in life is to get rid of Avodah Zarah and Klal Yisrael. And that's why he went on this whole campaign and destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, and that was Yeshiyahu, the iconoclast. That's the pshat that Rabbi Yom Yisrael says, that the neshama itself knows, based on this Arizal, that he was a gigol, Yeshiyahu was a gigol of Achav. I think it's a beautiful part. Well,
he put some bones out of the graves and he fixed the
time. But when I saw this vart, when you brought down this shtickle from the Arizal, I said with this you can answer another question that I once had. It's basically in the Novi Zechariah. What parak is it? Zechariah parak Beis. The Novi Zechariah is talking about the Mois Mashiach, and in the Mois Mashiach, the Armageddon or the Apocalypse, whatever they call it, there's going to be a big war and a lot of people are going to die, and etc. So it says in the Novi Zechariah, it says Bayem Ahu Yigdal Hamisbeit B'Yerushalayim. On that day, the hesped, the eulogies in Yerushalayim is going to be so great, so much. Kemisbeit Hadad Rimain BeBikas Megidon, like the eulogy of Hadad Rimain in the Valley of Megidon. If you ever heard the Christians are into like Megiddo and the Apocalypse or whatever, that's coming from this pasuk in Zechariah. That there was a hesped of somebody named Hadad Rimain in the Valley of Megiddon. And Hashem, and the Novi Zechariah is saying that Hashem said that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be such a destruction and everything, there's going to be so much hespedim that's going to, in Yerushalayim, that it's going to be like the hespedim Hadad Riman in this place called Megiddon. What's that talking about? Hadad Riman and Megiddon? So the Ibn Ezra over there in Zechariah, he says, who's this Hadad Riman that they give a hesped for him in Megiddon? Ibn Ezra says, I don't know. How can you expect me to know every guy who lived in the ancient world? Ibn Ezra says, apparently he was a famous guy who died and they had a spade from in Hadad Rimain in Bikas Megiddon, and the Novi Zechariah is making an analogy to that. That's what Ibn Ezra says. However, Chazal tell us not like this. Chazal tell us who is Hadad, what exactly Zechariah is referring to. It says that Zechariah Novi is referring to Hadad Rimain is talking about Ahav, Melech Yisrael, who was killed by Ben-Hadad, the king, by the army of Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. That's talking about Ahav. And it's talking about Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who was killed in war in Megiddon. We're going to speak about in a few moments exactly how the story of why Yoshiyahu was killed, the tragic ending of Yoshiyahu, but over there in Megiddon. That's what the Gemara says. Ma'id Katan Chaf Chesem and Beis. That it's talking about these two incidences where the kings, I think, are the only, besides Shaul HaMelech, these are the only instances where you had a king in Bnei Yisrael that was killed in war.
But yeah, kings of Yehuda were killed by the servants.
Same. Fine. But killed in war, only Ahav and Yeshiyahu, besides Shaul HaMelech. Yeah?
I mean, against Gentiles.
Yeah.
Does it count? Because it's the same group, because it's the same person? It's a different Google?
Well, one second. So you know, if you look in the Parsha Pshat in the Psukim, it sounds like it's talking about one guy named Hadad Rimon, who was killed in a place called Megiddon. So how's the Gemara saying it's talking about two people? Hadad Rimon is a reference to Ahav. And where was Ahav killed?
Ramayz
Gilad. We just said it a few minutes ago. Ramayz Gilad. So Ahav was killed in Ramayz Gilad, and Yeshiyahu was killed in Megiddon. So the Gemara is sort of like taking you know, half of this story, half of this story, and saying that what the psukim that says Hadad Rimon and Megiddo is talking about, Hadad Rimon is talking about Ahav and Megiddo is talking about Yeshiyahu. It's sort of like splitting what seems to be one story into two stories. So how does that work? So if you learn like the Arizal says that Yeshiyahu was a Gilgal of Ahav, so really it is one person. The Novi seems to be talking about a hesped of one person. Yeah, we are talking about the hesped of one person. If you learn like the Arizal, I think it's not mamish much. It's not mamish. Doesn't really answer the question completely, but it makes it. It's not such a question. Yeah, the Novi is talking about one person. He's talking about two gilgulim of that one neshama.
The first gilgul is killed by the northerners, and the second one is killed by the southerners.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What is the source of the Arizal? Also like a.
We don't ask what was the source of the Arizal. The Arizal himself is the source. A lot of the things that the Arizal says is based on the Zohar. A lot of things are based on his own Kabbalah that he had from his Rebbeim, etc. That you know, he was the first person to write it down. So we say it in his name because he didn't write it down. His Talmidim wrote it down. His Talmidim were the first people to write it down. So they write it down in his name. He heard it from his Rebbe, that's what Kabbalah is. Kabbalah means to accept. Why is it called accepting? Because you accept it from your Rebbe, you accept it from his Rebbe, etc., etc., going back up. So what's his source? His source is Kabbalah.
But Rabbi Chaim Vital said that he was born to write down the Ketav, Ketive HaAvidol.
Right.
His whole purpose was to write down Ketive HaAvidol.
Right.
Also, HaAvidol himself was on a very high level.
Right.
So he got all this information from being on a high level.
Right.
Which shows you the point that only with Ketive HaAvidol can you come to a real understanding.
Right. So you can't really ask what's the source of the Arizal. The Arizal is a source. Okay.
Have that feeling when I check it. Ever have that feeling it should just melt and dry out instead of asking a question?
Yeah.
No, you're asking a good question. If it was like a Rosh Hashiva who said something.
No, because it's so evident that there should be like some connection between that story, that the Navi and the response that the Arizal gave. But it's maybe that's even like some. I'm not saying that he doesn't have any other sources, like, you know.
The truth, look. The truth
maybe
is.
Maybe this is also like some kind of a proof.
The truth is, I didn't see the Arizal inside. I didn't look at Sefer Gilgulam. I just saw Rabbi Leomi is recorded. For all I know, he asked this question and says this word as the answer. I don't know. Could be that's the source. I really don't know. But that's the Arizal.
Do you have the book?
Sefer Gilgulam?
Yeah.
I have it. I have Eitz Rechochma on my computer, so I have a lot of Sfarim. I don't know. I probably have it.
Okay.
Right. Fine. So now we're going to speak about the tragic end of Yeshua HaMelech. What happened with Yeshua HaMelech? So let's read one more line. Uvishvil hara shehayu eisen b'seiser nasaf hatzadik. Because of the bad things that Bnei Yisrael were doing b'seiser, not out in the open, hiddenly, Nesaf HaTzadik, the Tzadik was killed. So even though Yeshio made a whole campaign to destroy and get rid of Avodah Zarah from Kal Yisrael, because of what Bnei Yisrael was doing, you know, and behind closed doors, literally, so the Tzadik was destroyed. The Tzadik was killed. So what's the story? The story is like this.
It was literally.
That's why I said it. The story is like this. The story is that the two main superpowers in the world in the time of Yeshua HaMelech was Bavel, who had sort of just taken over from Ashur, and Nebuchadnezzar's father from Bavel. They took over Ashur, and now they're the main superpower over there in Mesopotamia, and in the northeast, and in the southwest, they had Egypt. Egypt was also a main superpower then. And the name of the king of Egypt at that time was Paro Nechoy. Paro the lame, or I guess in modern Hebrew they call him Paro the handicap. So Paro Nechoy and Nebuchadnezzar were major rivals in control. Who has more control in the world? And we're going to have a war between Paro Nechoy and Nebuchadnezzar. Paro Nechoy wants to go fight Nebuchadnezzar. Now the thing is, if you want to go from Bavel, if you want to go from Mitzrayim down here to Bavel up here, you have to pass through Eretz Yisrael. Pashtus, you have to pass it. You could go around and sort of avoid it by going like from the deep, from like south, and then going like east of Eretz Yisrael, and sort of like the way that Bnei Yisrael went through the desert and then went through like Amon Moav. But the easiest way is to just cut through Eretz Yisrael and go straight to Babel, right? So Paro Nechoy wants to go fight Nebuchadnezzar, and he wants to cut through Eretz Yisrael to go fight Nebuchadnezzar in Babel. So he sends a letter to Yeshua HaMelech and says, can I go through your land? I'm not going to fight you. I just want to pass through your land so I can go fight Nebuchadnezzar. So Yeshua doesn't know what to do. He says, should I say yes or should I say no? So it says Yirmiyahu Navi comes to Yeshua HaMelech, and Yirmiyahu says, don't say no. Let them do it. Let Paro Nechoy go through Eretz Yisrael. That's when the Navi Yirmiyahu tells him. And Yeshua says to himself, wait a second. I'm a shtickle, he's a shtickle Talmud Chacham, right? He learned Chumash. It says in Chumash, by the brachas, in the Parshas Behar, it says, V'chev le'savar ba'artzachem, B'chukaisai, the beginning of B'chukaisai, V'chev le'savar ba'artzachem. A sword will not pass through your land. It says, when Kaliso is doing good, a sword will not pass through your land. Even if the sword is not coming to fight you, it's just passing through your land to fight someone else. A sword will not pass through your land. I'm not letting them pass through my land. Because Kaliso is doing good, and we deserve the brachos that Hashem said, and I'm not going to let them pass through our land. Because he understood that the Klal Yisrael was doing good because he destroyed all the Avodah Zarah, right? But Yirmiyahu said, don't say no! Don't say no! So what happened? Like this. The Midrash tells us that what really happened was that even though Yirmiyahu made this whole campaign to destroy Avodah Zarah, what happened was people were still Avid Avodah Zarah. This is what we're talking about over here. Harosh Shahayu Eisen Baseser, the bad that they were doing hiddenly, is talking about the fact that what the Jews would, what people would do is they would make their, Yeshua Melech sent inspectors house to house to make sure that there's no Avodah Zarah left. He made a whole campaign. It was a serious thing to get rid of. So what do people do? On the doors, the inside of their doors to Avodah Zarah, that's to their house, they put up their Avodah Zarahs. Let's say it like this, right here. On the back, on the inside of the door, you put your Avodah Zarah, you'll put a little bit over here, a little bit over here, right? So what happens? The inspector comes in, you open the door, he looks in the house, you see, oh, there's no Avodah Zarah, good. He leaves, he closes the door, right? They start banging down to their Avodah Zarah. Where was the Avodah Zarah? It was behind the door. It's behind closed doors. That was their Avodah Zarah. It's literally behind closed doors. But Yeshio was I guess naive or gullible. He didn't realize that they were still being Avodah Zarah. He thought he got rid of Avodah Zarah and the Klal Yisrael is on a higher level and that we deserve that the Chayav Leisav Ba'atzachem. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who Hashem was Megala to him, you know, what was really happening is telling him, no, you're not holding on that level. You're not as the nation is not as good as you think they are. And he didn't listen to the Navi. He let Paranachal, he said, no, I'm not letting you go. And Paranachal says, oh yeah, well then I'll force my way through. Right? And then he fights, and there's a battle between, you know, Yehuda and Mitzrayim, and they take over, Mitzrayim takes over, and they kill Yeshua in battle over there in Megiddoin. That's what we're talking about, the battle of Megiddoin. Yeshua is killed, Paranachal takes over, and he's in charge of the Jews for a while, and then he fights Nebuchadnezzar, the famous battle of Carchemish, and Nebuchadnezzar beats Paranachoi, and that's sort of the beginning of the end, and then the Beis Hamikdash is going to be destroyed from that. And that's why we have Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks and everything. So this the tragic end of the story of Yeshiyahu HaMelech, that is the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the end. V'nesu kol anshe Yehuda v'Yerushalayim v'Yirmiyahu HaNavi ligmal chasidim Yeshiyahu. And all of the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim and Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they all gathered together to do chesed to Yeshiyahu, to give a spadim for Yeshiyahu. Shenamar, it says in the pasuk, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yeshiyahu. Yirmiyahu lamented about Yeshiyahu. Pasuk in Divrei Yamim. It says in the pasuk, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yeshiyahu, Vayarmil ka sharim v'hasharis b'kineseihem al Yeshiyahu adayim. All the sharim and the sharis said their lamentations about Yeshiyahu until this day, and they gave it as a chayk, as a decree on Klal Yisrael. And these the eulogies and the lamentations, the elegies that they wrote for Yeshiyahu are written in the kineis. That's what it says in the pasuk of Divrei Yom. So where are these sharim and the shareis? Rabbi Meir says, Hasharim, what are the Sharim? Elu ha-Levim ha-Emim al-Duchanim Mishir. It's talking about the Levim who would stand on the platform when they sang the songs of the Beis HaMikdash. The Hasharais, what are the Sharais? Elin Mishir Sehen. These are, you know, Sharim are singers, and Sharais, male singers, and Sharais are female singers. So who is it? It's talking about their wives. The wives of the Levim. And the Radas, that's like, just like we say, like, we have a Kohen, so Kohen's wife is called a Kohenes. Or a Levi's wife is a Leviah. So if a Levi is called a Shar or Sharim, so Leviam's wife is called Sharis. Same idea. So that's what Rabbi Meir is pshat. Rabbi Shimon Aymer loyal Leviam and Rishayim. Remember, it's not talking about the Leviam and their wives. El al kol anashim achachomais. It's talking about all the wise women in Klal Yisrael that gave his spadim on Yeshiyahu. Shneimer, it says the pasuk koyamar Hashem tzvokis his bayinu v'kiru lemekaynenais usvayana. So said Hashem of the legions, you should have his plenitude about it, think about it. V'kiru l'makoinenais, you should call all the makoinenais, the female people who give lamentations, v'svayana, and they should come. V'chein kiblu aleihem kol Yisrael liyos goyim lin chesed im kol chachmei Yisrael ugdeileihem. And just like they gave hespedim on Yeshiyahu HaMelech, so too the Jews were accepted upon themselves that they're going to do chesed, meaning they're going to do hespedim, proper hespedim, al ol chachmei Yisrael and gedeileihem, and gedeileihem ukal Yisrael. Shinemar, it says in the end of that pasuk, it says Vayitnum l'choy kol Yisrael, and they made it as a choy, as a decree in kol Yisrael. And Rashi says over there in Divrei Yomim, Rashi says that what does it mean Vayitnum l'choy kol Yisrael? That they made a takana that every time that there's a sad thing that happened, a sorrow that we're expressing our sadness about, you should also mention the tragedy of Yeshiyahu HaMelech. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, "Kishin is damin la shum tsaru b'chia." When there's any pain or crying, shehem mekaninim u'baychem la ma'ira. They're lamenting and crying about any event. Hehem askirim zehat tsar imay. They would also mention this tsar, this pain of the death of Yeshiyahu, with whatever they were doing. For example, dogma b'tisha ba'av shemaskirim kines al harugim b'gzeish iru b'yamenu. Rashi says, Rashi and Divrei Yomim. Okay, Rashi and Divrei Yomim, by the way, is not necessarily Rashi. So, but it was written. It's a Rishon, but not necessarily Rashi. The Chidon Shem Gedolim writes that it's not Rashi, but it's, we call it Miuchas L'Rashi. But he says that the Gzeiras that happened in our days, the Crusades, right? With Tisha B'Av, on Tisha B'Av, we have Kines about the Crusades. Why? Because there's a takana that when you're crying and you're having hespedim and lamentations about a sad event, so you mention all the different sad events. So we have a kinois on Tisha B'Av about the Crusades and about Gzeiras Tachtat, and we have Kein Yivkiyun Amois Yeshio, and we have about the Holocaust in more modern times. So too they should cry about the death of Yeshio. And in fact, I brought with me the article Kinois. And if you look at Kina Yud Aleph on the day, on the Tisha B'Av day, Kina Yud Aleph, Vayakinin Yirmiyahu al Yeshiyahu. That's the beginning of the Kina. And it's a whole lamentation about Yeshiyahu HaMelech and this whole tragic story that we set over with the king and the people who were doing their affairs behind the doors and all these things. It goes through in great detail in poetry. Someone told me that this was written by a Kalir. Art school, I don't think, mentions that it was written by a Kalir, but this is one of the poems that they wrote about the death of Yeshiyahu. V'hinam k'suvim ala kinois. The kinois, the on Tisha B'Av, we talk about the death of Yeshiyahu. The Ralbag actually on that pasuk says v'hinam k'suvim ala kinois, says that there's certain psukim, if you look in Eicha, if you look really good, certain psukim that are being meramez, they're really speaking about the death of Yeshiyahu. Not just talking about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but also talking about the death of Yeshiyahu. We have this kina over here. It's interesting that in the kina, it says that towards the end of the kina, it says, Tala be'esem rishtayim mehareis shasois. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that really, the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be destroyed in the time of Yeshiyahu HaMelech. And because of the schus of Yeshiyahu HaMelech, that he destroyed the Avodah Zarah and everything, so because of that, Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to wait with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash for 22 years. So from the death of Yeshiyahu HaMelech until the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was 22 years. There were a bunch of kings because they had short reigns, but it was only 22 years from the death of Yeshiyahu HaMelech till the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
What would be Yochim?
What, the exact Cheshbon?
Yochim was a king 3 months.
Right.
You have another 3 months of Yeruchim.
Art school gives the exact cheshbon. After Yeshiyahu was Yehoyachaz for 3 months, then Yehoyachim for 11 years, and then Yehoyachim for another 3 months and 10 days. Yehoyachim is also Yechonia. Yeah. Right? And then Tzidkiyahu for another 11 years, that comes at 22 years. 6 days.
So
6 months and 10 days. So that's 22 years, 6 months, and 10 days after Yeshiyahu was killed was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it comes out that Yeshiyahu died on Rosh Chodesh Av. The Ralbach says that Aron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. But the Pasuk seems to be saying that he died on Rosh Chodesh Av. Oh, sorry, you're right, 6 months, I'm sorry.
10 days,
6 months, right, I'm sorry, never mind, forget about that.
Tennis.
Well, it depends if it was Ibri or not. So now we're getting into real problems. Okay, whatever.
So
it wasn't tough. No, scratch that. We said because it was 6 months. I forgot the 6 months.
I'm not saying this isn't the first one. Where's the
yeah.
Chiddush
HaChamishi? Because, right, but it's a funny Ralbag. The Ralbag says that Chiddush HaChamishi by Aaron HaKoyin, it means Chamishi from Tishrei, not Chamishi from Nisan. So he says it's talking about Shvat. Where do you find that in the whole Tanakh? I don't know. But that's what the Ralbag says. It's not Pashup Shat. You're right. But because the Rabbi says this, I say it's not Pashup. But Pashup Shad is that he died in Moshe Shoshov. Fine. So that's the story, the tragic story of Yeshayahu HaMelech. And we think about it every year. Because that was Mamash, the beginning of the end. He thought they were on a higher darga than they were. You should have listened to the Navi. That's the problem. When you don't listen to the Navi, you know, you're treading on ice.
Yeah, but it's funny. But anyway,
No, well, I don't know if it was the whole Kali Yisrael. He did a pretty good job probably getting rid of it. But
maybe a lot of people. I'm saying like maybe the doom, the end of the Besamection and stuff, it can be only because of that, you know, wrong turn. Of not, you know, listen to the Tanavi. That's
right.
Much bigger stuff.
Yeah, of course, but you know, all of it adds up, really. You know, it seems like this is maybe the straw that broke the camel's back.
It says somewhere that the Tzani Adar was doing that. First of all,
the Tzani Adar?
I think so.
Okay, could be there's such a lotion.
Second of all, it says in the passing that Hashem was still upset about Menashe Mel for all the blood that he spilled. I think
okay.
Explained that if in the generation of Yeshua they would have really done tshuva, then Hashem would have forgiven also retroactively for Menashe.
But they didn't really do tshuva.
So like you said, it mounted up.
Right.
So if Hashem was still upset about Menashe.
Okay, let's try to finish the parak. Shlomo HaMelech saw that the midah of Gemilas Chasodim was a chashuv thing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is sort of like the end. This is sort of summing up everything that we spoke about in the last two prakim about Gemilas Chasodim for Chasanas and for Chasanim and Kalas and Gemilas Chasodim for people who are in Avelis. So Shlomo HaMelech saw how great the Indian of Gemilas Chasodim was in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he built two gates. One gate was the gate for grooms, and one gate was the gate for people who are in avelus and in excommunication. A person who is in cherem, is menuda, who is in excommunication, he has a lot of the same halachas as a person who is in avelus. The Jews would go on Shabbos and they would sit between these two gates. A person who would go into the gate for chasanim, everyone would know this guy is a chasan. And they would say to him, he who dwells in this house should make you gladdened with sons and daughters. Everyone knows that whoever goes to that door is a chasan, so I'm going to stand by the door. Every guy who comes in, I'll say mazel tov to him. That's basically what they did.
And give him a donation.
Give him a donation. Well, no, when you shake his hand to say mazel tov, you have a check in the hand. Whoever would go in through the gate of the door for the mourners. So there were two types of people. There were mourners and there were people who were excommunicated. So the minhag used to be that mourners would we don't do this nowadays, but a person who if he's in a velus, so he covers his head and up all the way down to the even including the mustache. He just like leaves he puts something over his face. It's called ituf. It's brought in the Gemara. Ituf, and he just leaves over his mouth. I don't know, maybe they poked holes for the eyes. I don't know exactly how it worked, but so they do ituf. If a person goes through the gate of the mourners, and his mustache was covered, and they would know that he isn't mourning, and they would say to him, he who dwells in this house, he shall console you. Shaila about if you're allowed to be Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. Okay, because we're talking, we said that they would do this on Shabbos. Okay. And a person who would come into the gate of the mourners and his mustache was not covered, his mustache was revealed, Then they would know that the reason why he's going through that gate is because he's excommunicated. He's in cherem, meaning that he probably did something bad, and they put him in cherem, and that's why, you know, you're not allowed to do business with him, and you're not allowed to like talk. You're not really allowed to talk to him or whatever. You're not allowed to be friendly. Let's say, but they would say to him, "Hashechin babayi says that you're not chamecha. The one, he who dwells in this house should console you. V'yitin b'lvavcha she'tishva l'chaveyarcha v'yikarvucha. And Hashem should put in your heart that you should listen to your friends and they should bring you closer. Meaning, you know, that you should do tshuva for whatever it is that you did wrong that they put you in cherem for. K'dei she'yetzu kol Yisrael yidei chayvosan b'gemilas chasonim. So that all the Jews would be able to be mekayim gemilas chasonim. So Shlomo HaMelech built these two doors, these two gates, two gates.
Okay.
The people in Cherem and the people of Elam were in one game. And you could tell which one is which from the mustache. Right. So Shlomo HaMelech built these two gates so that people will be able to properly be Mekayim Gimilas Chasadim. Nowadays we okay, yeah. Umishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskinu Shiyu Chasanim HaAvelim Hayuchim Levati Knesiyas Levati Midrashas. They were misakin that a chasan and a mourner should go to the Beis Knesses and should go to the Beis Medrash, to Shul and to the Beis Medrash. V'anshei Amakim Ruinas HaChasan Usmeichim Imay. And the people from the city would come, the people from the place would come and see the chasan and they would be happy with him. V'Ruinas HaEval, and they would see the person who was a mourner. V'Yeshin Imay Alas, they would sit with him on the land and you know, express their sorrow with him. Kadesh Yeh, we like the Marzu points out, we have a minig on, I haven't seen this in a very, very long time, Baruch Hashem, but there's a minig that when there's an Avel in the Shul, so the Avel doesn't come to Shul for Kabbalah Shabbos, he comes in right after Lecha Daidi, and they say Hamokim Inach, and he comes in, and while everyone's still turned around from Bayi B'Shalom, he comes in, and everyone says Hamokim Inach Eschem on Shabbos.
I just saw this last Shabbos in Ramat HaSharon, Rabbi Yaakov
Edelstein.
For some reason, he stopped. He walked from his place all the way to the front door. I don't know why. I was wondering what's going on. Why is the Rav walking? You know, everyone's turning and looking because an Avil came in.
Yeah.
Open the door.
He said, you know, he said something to him, and he came back, and then we continued.
The whole shul didn't say it?
The whole shul. I don't know. I didn't say it.
You didn't have what happened. Right.
I didn't notice until now.
Right.
But I didn't know that
yeah.
But it happened this Shabbos.
I have, Baruch Hashem, I haven't seen this in years. It's got to be like close to 10 years. I haven't seen this done. But when I was younger, I remember seeing it done.
Where did you see it done?
And in America, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not so common. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Well, they invite the
Avil
to the
Shabbos, right? Right after Lechadoi, right before Mizrach Shalem Shabbos.
Right. The first time I saw it was here in an American show.
Oh yeah.
In Beit Ha. Yeah.
Interesting.
American show in Beit Ha.
The A, Rabbi Stern.
Oh, the Stern.
American.
It's interesting, when we spoke about it in the Beis HaMikdash, so we said that there's three people. There's the Chasan, the Avel, and the guy who's in Cherem. We're talking about Shul, we just talked about the Chasan and the Avel. So Rav Chaim Palachi says, but the guy who's in Cherem, he's not allowed to come to Shul.
Interesting.
He's allowed to come to the Beis HaMikdash, but he's not allowed to come to Shul. It's an interesting thing.
That's what Cherem is. You're not allowed to daven with the Tzibor.
Right, you're not allowed to be part of the Tzibor, right.
That's, you can still go to the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
That's chesed. That's promised chesed by Hashem. That will allow him into his
Knesset is a reunion.
And the last line, well, I don't want to mamash get into this, but the last line in the parak says, V'aleihem hu omer, about them it says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Goyim Lel Sachar Toiv, L'Goyim Lel Chasodim. Baruch Atah Hashem, who repays good reward to people who do chesed. So what's this talking about over here? So the Rav Chaim Falachi says it's not really a brach. It's more like, you know, when you see this happening, so you're more aware that, oh, that's Baruch Hashem, that he's the one that takes care of people who do chesed. He gives them their reward. It's not a real bracha, he says. For sure you don't make a bracha with Shem v'Malchus. So it's not a real bracha. The Beis HaGadol says that no, it is a bracha. That it's a bracha that the Avel, the person who's in mourning, says about the people that come to console him. You came to console me, so I give you a special bracha. You know, Hashem is going to give you schar for coming to console me. In different places in Shas, there's in Chazal and Tosafos and Yerushalmis, there's something called Birkas Avelim. We're not knowing to say what's called Birkas Avelim nowadays, and it's from one of these. It's an example of something that's called brachas shenishtaku, brachas that were forgotten, brachas that there used to be a minhag to do, and we don't have it nowadays. Well, there's an interesting sefer called Brachas Shenishtaku that I have over here, all about different brachas that are mentioned in Chazal that we don't have those minhagim anymore. And one of these is Birkas Avelim. He has a whole parak about it, Parak Yud Aleph in his sefer. Brachas Shenishtaku is printed by Masada Rav Kook. I got this from a friend of mine who just moved to America, so I got a very pretty good price for this. So in Parak Yud Aleph in the sefer, he writes about what's called Birkas Avelim, and he brings different shitas and different sources, what exactly is Birkas Avelim, and he comes out that there's four types of Birkas Avelims. There's four examples of Birkas Avelim. One is going on Hashem, one is going on the Ovel, one's going on the people that comes to visit the Ovel, and one's going on Klal Yisrael as a whole. He says the first bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaye Meisim. That's the bracha that I guess an Ovel would make on to Hashem when a person is nifter. The second one is the bracha of Menachem Avelim. Baruch Atah Hashem Menachem Avelim is talking about the Ovel, that Hashem should be Menachem, Hashem should control him. The third bracha, he says, is the bracha that we're talking about over here in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that is going on the people that come to visit. Gemel Sachar Tov, the Gemel Chasadim, talking about the people that come to visit. Hashem should give them their reward. And the fourth bracha is Baruch Hashem Eitzer HaMagefa, the one who stops the Magefa. He's talking about all of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem should stop death from all of Klal Yisrael, and we should not have to experience these sufferings and all the other sufferings of the Beis HaMikdash and all these other things, that Hashem should bring us the good days and the Bias HaMashiach and Bina Beis HaMikdash. Thank you guys for coming. Have a good